Turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. I'll pick up the thought there and go right through the verse 21. I want to cover the last part of verse 21 this morning. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exercise of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. Let's pray. Lord, we are those who you have enlightened, that we know that you are a great God, the one and only true God. And all religions claim to have a genuine Savior, a genuine Lord, a mighty God. But Lord, only you fill that role. And may we now, as we look again at your power today, Lord, may we be impressed by it to great praise from our hearts and great confidence and security in our walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Weirdest thing happened to me. I'm going to tell you about it. I'm in the backyard, and it was in around an afternoon, and the sun was out, and then suddenly it was like there was a shade in the backyard. And I looked up, and there was a spaceship right up above the trees. And I stared at it because obviously you would have done the same thing. I mean, the Goodyear blimp went by one time. We stared at that till it went out of sight. So I'm watching, and what should pop out but an alien. An alien popped out and landed on the ground next to me in the backyard. And it was kind of shocking to me, and I recovered. He looked at me and said, "Take me to your leader." And I've heard that's what they say, that when this happens, they want to know who's in charge. Well, I said, "Listen, I'll tell you if you give me a ray gun." But no, it didn't go. The problem I had at that point was, who's in charge? On Earth. It's a logical request. If you're an alien, if we go to another planet, I guess Elon Musk will probably be the first to do that. And lands, and there's a civilization there. You'll want to talk to somebody in charge so that your entry, your acclimation into a new world is accepted. That you'll be welcome. Same with a new job. You have to acclimate yourself to a new job. You have to find out what the job requires, where this is, where this that is, where this goes, who you're answerable to, who your immediate supervisor is, who's over that. So it's very logical that he asked that question. Take me to your leader. But again, who's in charge? In our world, we have no world leader. Nobody is absolutely in charge. We have national leaders. We have regional leaders. We have local leaders. But we don't have a world leader. There's nobody that I could send the alien to get entry and permission to be in our world. And that disappointed him mightily, I'll say. He popped right back up in his spaceship and took off. Well, of course, who do you go to? Also, whatever leader there is on Earth does not have absolute sovereignty. They can't make a wholesale decision for the world. What one country says would not be followed by another country. There would not be total conformity among the citizens of the one country where a leader is leading. Some would say, yeah, we need to let this alien in. We're certainly letting a lot of aliens in otherwise. Others would say, no, we can't start opening up to other planets now. This is probably why, since there's no one to direct an alien to, this is probably why in the movies, when you see aliens coming to Earth, they don't ask that question, they just take over the world. So we want to look today at the power of God, His might and authority in the world. At the tail end of this verse 21, where we've seen the mention of His power to transform, our God has the power of might and authority. Those are two different things, but obviously related. That God is able to do things. He is powerful to perform things. Even raising the dead and transforming Christians into conformity with the image of the body of the glory of Jesus Christ. He can do that. He also has the authority to act according to His will. He has the power. He has the authority. If I go into a Best Buy and I say, put a flag down, I claim this Best Buy as my very own. What am I lacking? Power and authority. I will not get it that way. When the Lord lays claim, He has the power, He has the authority. And the world is not only ignorant of that, but they also make false gods with no power and no authority and bow down to them. The folly of idolatry is you make a god that God can't do anything. You have to hold Him up, stick Him on a pole, nail Him to the wall, carry Him here and there. You can pray to Him, ask Him to do you favors. You can sacrifice to Him. It's a complete folly. No redeeming quality whatsoever. Because they have no power, no life, no authority. So let's look first of all at the dynamics of power. Whenever you go somewhere to get help from somebody, you go to get your car fixed, you go to someone you feel has the power to help you. And we all have some power. Parents have power. Leaders have power. Tradesmen have power. People help, people work, people guide others, people teach. All that's a power. And power is required to move ourselves and other things. Without power, we're just a blob. And power is required to influence others by words. If you have powerful words, if you can use words to persuade people, that's power. To have an oratorical ability is power. Peter sought to persuade people at Pentecost to come to Christ. That's power. Power is required to read and write and do arithmetic. It's ancient history now, a long time ago, way before our time, I guess, now. That's what schools used to do. Reading and writing and arithmetic. You remember that jingle? Reading and writing and arithmetic, all to the tune of a hickory stick. What have we lost in all of those things? We've lost the reading, the writing. You didn't hear the hickory stick thing? The reading, the writing, the arithmetic, and the hickory stick. You can't have any of that anymore. Some do. So, power is required to eat, to move about, to feed others. An ability plus a skill. A power is not just the effort, but the successful effort, the skillful effort in applying your knowledge. Now, power in general is the ability to attempt something according to your will. You go out after we get a couple more snows and you go out in the yard and start doing the yard work for the spring, then you're going to have a certain goal in mind that you're going to manicure this yard and it's going to look a certain way. And so that's your plan. And so by your power, you will attempt to do that. Now, it might rain. Your lawnmower might break down. Something might interrupt. But power is the attempt at something, the ability to seek to do something. But power is not the same as successful power. You can have the ability to do something, and I'm talking about us, and not accomplish it. They say plan to fail, fail to plan to fail, but at least, people try, and they don't always succeed. If you have power and you have a plan and you decide that you're going to go for that plan, well, then you might succeed, you might not. When I was in Little League, when I was 9 years old, that was the first year of Little League, my goal when I got up to bat was to walk. Because I was too young, too little, not good enough. And so I was scared to death. And the manager said one time, what my plan was for walking was to keep the bat on my shoulder for every pitch and just hope he missed the strike zone. And the manager said one day, I'd rather you go down swinging than to stand and wait for a walk. Now, I got a lot better as the years went on. But, power is respected when we try. We generally attempt things that we think we can accomplish. We think we can do it. We have a saying, if at first you fail your deed, try again till you succeed. That, by the way, was uttered by Underdog. Not the normal one. So power can be categorized as good or bad, depending on how it is used. Many kings throughout history and in our day used power in an evil way. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, they say. Some people get in power, they might have been a good person. When they got power, they lost it. They became evil. Power is used for good. Power is used for bad. A good man will likely seek to use his power to benefit others, to love, to build up. But the devil's power is always directed toward evil, and his servants also toward doing evil. So power in itself is amoral, is how you use it. And there's, of course, different levels of that power. Power can be something that we misuse, or it can be something that we use properly. Power also refers to authority and rights. For example, I have the power to marry people as a pastor. The state recognizes me as someone who can perform marriages. I'm not sure that others can't, but that's generally left to ministers, pastors, justices of peace, or whatever. I have that power. Parents have the power to discipline their children. That happens probably a lot less in these days than it used to, but they have that power. Bosses have the power to hire and fire employees. Police have the power to arrest criminals. They also have the power to arrest non-criminals. The London police, this past week, a guy had an anti-Hamas poster, and the Hamas crowd were beating him up, and the police arrested the guy with the poster, not the people who were beating him up. That place has really gone bad. So you see, power is authority, not just the exertion, not just the ability, but also the authority. So let's look at sovereign power. Now this is the Lord's power. Our power is below that. The Lord's power is sovereign. The Lord will transform, the Bible tells us here in Philippians 3, our lowly bodies by the exertion of his power. So he will transform us from what we are now. We will not be the same. We'll be enough the same that we'll be recognized, but we will not be the same. We'll have an entirely glorified body in conformity with that of Jesus Christ. We saw a little bit of that after his resurrection. The limitations that we have now, we will not have. The lack of knowledge that we have now, we will not have. So he will transform us into conformity to the body of Christ. And he has that ability by sheer act of will. He doesn't have to gather materials and mix them up to do that. I made my one thing I cook. I'm not counting Eggo waffles. I cooked the one thing I can cook, grits, yesterday morning. I put the grits, I put the water, I got salt, and I made it with those ingredients and butter. And I know how to do that. You bring the ingredients together, and there it is. And I thought they were pretty good, too, by the way. And so, the manifestation of the power of God is his ability to act. But he doesn't gather up things that people have to help him with or provide. His power is by pure will. Let there be light. There was light. All of that is done, the Latin word is ex nihilo. It means out of nothing. Out of nothing, God creates. God speaks into existence everything he chooses to create. He doesn't have to go to Lowe's and get the lumber for it. He just says it. Let there be this. There was. When he transforms our body, he will not need our cooperation. When he saves us, he does not need our cooperation. The Lord does so by sheer will, by the statement of his desire. Interestingly, the Big Bang starts with nothing. They don't believe in God, atheistic evolution. But they believe that everything comes out of nothing by chance. It's far more outlandish than the truth that God out of nothing creates. Well, they believe in the out of nothing thing. They just don't believe in God. They believe you put stuff in a vacuum and then suddenly it pops up and makes something. Or that matter is eternal, which is self-defeating. God's transforming power is one manifestation of his sovereign power. And you see in verse 21, we're transformed by the exertion of the power that he has. His ability that he can do this because there's nothing impossible with the Lord. But this is part of it, as it goes on in this verse to our text, that this is according to the power he has even to subject all things to himself. That's a higher power. What he does, he has the ability to do. But it's part of his omnipotence and his authority to do whatever it is he pleases. John 10, 27 tells us about our security. Now, some people believe that once they're saved, they might be lost again, that they would be saved a bit and then they would later on not be saved. What that often is that people don't, of course, they never really get saved. Some Christians can doubt and they can be instructed from the scriptures and be comforted. But a lot of people never got saved, and so people look at them and say, well, you look the same as you used to look. You've not changed at all. And so they think that they've lost something. Well, they never gained it. You have to gain it to lose it. But if you say that you lost it, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. How do you read that? That those who hear the voice and follow him, he knows them, and he gives them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of his hand. Do you get that kind of like as a eternal security kind of for all time thing? Well, people come along and say, well, you know, we could jump out of his hand. No one can take it, but we could jump out. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And so what that is just straight up assault on the sovereign power of God. You lock a criminal up, they might get out of jail. They might escape. But those who God has saved, who've heard his voice, he gives them eternal life. How long is eternal life if you can jump out off of it? This is his sovereign power. His doing what he desires to do to the end. I have power and you have power to fix a lot of the problems in our society. You never hear the solution offered. People coming to know Jesus Christ through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I always say, you get these shootings, you get these people who are messed up in all kinds of ways, all kinds of crime, all kinds of crazy things going on, and you never hear people present the gospel to them because they don't believe in the gospel. Our power we have to enlighten about that is not welcome. Yet God will save who he will. God's sovereignty ensures that he always accomplishes what he wills. I bet you hunters, I'm not a hunter, I have hunted. I bet you hunters sometimes have missed a shot. You aimed, you fired, and you missed. I know you're not going to admit it here. Or you went fishing and you didn't catch anything. That happens. That happens to humans. Never to God. He always accomplishes his will. Jesus healed by divine power. He performed miracles because he was the Son of God. He rose from the dead by an act of divine power. And what God wills cannot be stopped by any. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who is against us if God is for us? That's really who the aliens were looking for when they landed. Almighty power, sovereign power. So in this sense, when we look at the latter part of Philippians 3:21, we're talking about power of authority. The concept of authority. In Matthew 28, verse 18, listen to what Jesus said. It's a great commission, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority, all power is the old King James Version, I think. All power, all authority. Jesus has the authority over every nation in the world and in heaven too. That is sovereign power. It is not localized. False gods have a local area of influence. God of the hills, God of the valley, God of the ocean. God of the skies. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his authority, has no limit, no region. It is all power. So when he was commanding his disciples to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he's telling them to go to the places that he commands, where he rules, where his authority is absolute. And that's the fact of it. God accomplishes what he chooses to accomplish. He does his will. And so let's look at the ultimate goal of God's sovereign power. Is the United States subject to the power of Jesus Christ? I will say, to find someone in power today who believes in the sovereign power of Jesus Christ is a little bit like looking for leprechauns. You'll look a long time and not find any. People in power tend to be proud. They get very much to their own ways. That's our nature, is just individuals. But then they move away from the Lord. And we currently see a world in rebellion, and the answers are not answers at all. The world tries to put fires out by throwing more gas on them. We have demonic lies presented as heavenly truth. Our kids can't even get a good education anymore in most places because they're being lied to about ideology. Yet in spite of all this, the Lord is sovereign over the United States of America. He is the king of this land. He's not the president. He's not in Congress or the Senate or House. He is still over it all. Because Jesus said, "All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's the concept of authority. People lie. Lying is not just not knowing the truth. Lying is knowing the truth and then saying the opposite of it. Our world is full of that. But we're focusing upon the sovereign power of God in his authority. It's comforting to me. If I read the news, I get angry often. What in the world? People get arrested for doing good. They get promoted for doing evil. It's crazy. But when I read the scriptures and I find that all power has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth at the Great Commission, well, that's encouraging to me. I'm comforted by that. Every evil, oppressive thing that anybody on earth says that's against God will not prevail because of our God. God's authority logically precedes his power. It's all the same, really. Psalm 62:11 says, "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God." God, sovereign, authoritative, powerful. He has the right and the power to do what he will. And so the Bible tells us that he does whatever he pleases. Psalm 115, verse 3, "But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases." Psalm 135, verse 5, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deeps. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, who brings forth the wind from his treasuries." I bet you thought wind was a mixture of high and low pressure systems. He brings the wind up. He causes all these things. So God then has an eternal destiny for this world. When he says in verse 21, in the latter part, that he's able even to subject all things to himself, he's speaking of this ultimate plan. God began, and he began with a plan. You might see a house somewhere. There's a house I keep seeing if you go on 301, I believe, toward the interstate. There's a house over there that has added a room at the roof, and you know that that was not part of the original plan. It doesn't fit in exactly right. And it's not no fault of the homeowner. You know, things happen. More kids come. They need more room, whatever. But the Lord's plan is very much to accomplish his divine sovereign will in this world. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention which he purposed in him, Christ, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. God's plan is to sum up all things in Christ, to bring everything together under the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that all rebels will be assigned to the place of judgment. Philippians 2:9, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the plan. Now, right now, no, not everybody does that. A lot of people slander Jesus, say Jesus is something he's not, or he's one of a bunch of gods, or he's not God at all. But the plan is to sum up all things in Christ. The head, the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The saints will be glorified and taken to the Father's house. That's summing us up in Christ. The angelic rebellion, of which demons still are free to roam, will be put to an end. Some are in prison, some are free out running around. There's a prison for that. They'll be put in their place. There'll be new heaven and new earth, and his kingdom will come, and his will be done. That was we're given in the model prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That happens. That's summing up all things in Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, when all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. So all you'll have is God and Christ reigning and doing his will in his kingdom. Everything will be right. The wicked will be punished. The righteous will be glorified. The Father will be pleased with the completion of his plans. That's where we're headed. No nation on earth has that kind of sovereignty. There are occasions in history, always. And the United States is kind of there now. We seem to be wanting to throw it away. There was Egypt. Egypt was a monster power. Well, they faded. They're still in Egypt, but it's not what it was. Assyria came in and ruled the world, and they fell. Babylon came. Powerful. They fell. Persia came. They fell. Greece. Power. They fell too. Rome. The mighty Roman Empire. 1,000 years. Corroded from the inside. They fell. We've had China, Japan, USSR, and our country now. Not sovereign. Can't send the aliens to anybody in this world who has sovereign power. If you ever blown soap bubbles, you kids might have blown soap bubbles recently, even, or will this spring. Take those soap bubbles up. They float out. My plan for those soap bubbles was to float them up into the clouds. Just let them right up there. You know, never happened. They pop. They're temporary. They're very, very fragile. Wind blows a little bit. They snag a branch. They're down. Now, our approach to obstacles, we step around them, we avoid them, we look out for them, we steer clear of them. But our great God, Psalm 76, verse 10, our great God does not have to do that. His sovereign power will accomplish the end plan that he has. And it says there, for the wrath of man shall praise you, with a remnant of wrath you will gird yourself, make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. Let all who are around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared. He will cut off the spirit of princes. He is feared by the kings of the earth. God will take the wrath of man against him. And that will be turned to praise, in that the Lord deals with that wrath by his mighty, awesome, sovereign power. Now, we as Baptists should be on top of all other churches, denominations, on believing in the sovereignty of our great God. Never be ashamed of it. Some people don't believe it fully. We do. Because that's what the Bible says. And even the wrath of man kicking against the Lord will be overcome by God's great sovereign power. Let's pray. Lord, we believe this and we also eagerly await it. It's one thing to hear about it, but Lord, we'll to see it. What a day that will be. And we pray, Lord, that as this psalm says, that we will find people who are seeking your favor. That we will find that those who are standing against you in society will be broken this side of judgment. But Lord, we know that if they are not, they will be broken then. For Lord, you are the one who will bring all things to the proper end, that Christ is all in all, and that all will be under your great authoritative power. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.